I so appreciate our generosity towards Chris last week and my brother and my nephew. And I just want to remind you of something. I'm going to share something this morning, and it's going to kind of be me. I'll get out the best way I can. Something I feel it's necessary for this house here and this for this body. And I want to share one thing. Let me remind you one thing that Chris said last week when he was here, and my brother did it too. And remember, Chris got up. He said, "You know, I don't know what your normal worship experience is like." He said, "But this is it. Wow, you know." And he's been at some really good churches. My brother was raving. He's a purist. He's not one to do that. And I said that to say this. Several of you actually come to me individually, and some who are here today, some who aren't, and they said, "You know, I just feel like the Lord, something here for this body that, you know, it's on the cusp of something." I agree with that. I think it's good to be aware of it. But there are some things I believe that before the Lord does what I think what's in his heart and what we see, whatever is in his heart, you know, there's some things that the Lord sometimes he takes care of first. And I always equate it to an analogy of if you ever watch the show Shark Tank, I've seen it a few times, and you got all these, I know it's Mark Cuban and Mr. Wonderful, he was always funny to watch. But these are millionaires, and they wouldn't invest into your company unless you had your ducks in a row, right? And sometimes I think, I know the Lord's the same way. And I spoke on this a few weeks back about wineskins. Sometimes the Lord, just to save ourselves, isn't going to pour everything in until that wineskin is the way he wants it. And I think he's doing some things like that here. And I want to just speak to some things and address some things. I'm going to be kind of all over the place in some areas, and I'll do my best to express what's in my heart the best way I can. Sometimes I have things that I feel like are coherent. But this morning, I don't want to just give you information. I want to speak to our hearts and where we are and what the Lord's put within me. So I am going to go off Acts again for this because I've been in the book of Acts. So if you turn with me at Acts chapter 8, we're looking at verse 1, Acts chapter 8. I was going through this, and I said, how in the world I get from Acts 8, 1 through 8 to what I want to say, but I'm doing it, so. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. This is actually, if we were just teaching this chapter, like a teacher and a student, this is one of the most pivotal chapters in the New Testament, and really in the book of Acts. But it says this. Now, this was right after, and just to recap, you remember Stephen, and we spoke about Stephen, and we spoke about our Christian heritage a few weeks ago, and the Lord was really here for that, you know. God's no respecter of persons, and the way he used Stephen, he can use us. And so this was Saul who became Paul. And it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. That's Stephen, of course. So at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Which that's interesting. Basically, there's persecution. The apostles stayed put. Everyone else went out and preached the gospel. It says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip... Now, Philip was also just like Stephen. If you remember, Stephen was a deacon. In Acts chapter 6, they put in the deacons in place. But he was full of the Spirit of God, and the Lord really used him as an evangelist. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Let me just stop there. Remember I said all that Jesus both began to do and to teach? And so here, part of the preaching was what they heard. It was also what they saw. Which is good to share. It's one thing, it's important to preach and teach and share and get your bullhorn, but it's also important that people can see a living reality of it, okay? Amen. And that can be in your life, just the fruit of your life, It can also be the gifts of the Spirit moving, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a healing, a miracle, any capacity. Both of those together. It says, for unclean spirits, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So Peter, they heard that he went down over to Samaria, and they both heard and saw what he did, and there was great joy in the entire city, right? I believe really a church, the heart of it, big or small, is to impact this city. There's great joy in the city. I love that. Because what Philip was doing, preaching and teaching and demonstrating with his life. And I believe that the Lord wants to do that with this house here and with this body. I do. And I feel like something he's put on my heart for this morning is something to help us with that. If I didn't believe that was possible, I wouldn't be here. Right? I'm here because I desire. I have a friend who has a ministry out in Virginia, and I was going to share it. This City of Life, I think it's called, but his motto is to see a city flip, and it's a big city. And that's his heart, right? And that's to extend as I disciple people. It filters out to where I am. And so that's what happened. Let me just go real quick, just a quick background. Samaria, Samaritans were considered by Jews to be half-breeds. And if you remember when they had the northern and the southern tribe and Assyria came in and he plundered in the Old Testament, the 10 tribes in the north, Samaria, and the Assyrians came in. And what the Assyrians did, they took their own people in 1 Kings 17, or 2 Kings 17, one of the two, and they put their people in basically to intermix and to mix with the people of God. And so the Jews despised them. They called them mixed breeds, basically. And this isn't my sermon, but I feel like I should say this for some reason. It's possible to be unequally yoked with someone, even spiritually speaking, One thing about the Samaritans, about a room full of youth, I could really share it. Grace. It's possible to be unequally yoked with someone, even if they're a Christian spiritually. As you grow up, you find someone in your life, it's always important there's a spiritual connection. Because even the Samaritans, there's great animosity of the Samaritans. I won't bore you with this too much, but they believed that the Messiah was coming, but they only took the first 5 books of the Bible. So they didn't have, Isaiah passage, they didn't have Micah, they didn't have the prophecies of Christ. So when Christ came, you remember when he went to Samaria, right? Remember when the Pharisees said, are we not right to say you are a Samaritan and have a demon? That's how the people, just to give you perspective, in this time when they were going out preaching, it was basically a Jewish enterprise. And so they went out to see the Samaritans. To them, if James here is a Samaritan, am I not right to say you have a demon? That's the heart of it. Yet God sent them to him. Remember the lady at the well? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You remember that? So there's friction and animosity, right? On both sides of the aisle. There's a temple and everything like that. So long story short, the Jews would even, to go around, they would like make a special way around so they wouldn't have to go through the Samaritan people. So, in Acts, why is this so important? And why is Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8 so important? There's actually biblical prophecies about it. I'm going off on tangents here. But let me just say this. This was where the Lord started to open up the gospel to all people, right? Whether you were part of my tribe or not. Whether you are just like me or not, the gospel was for all men, right? Every person has an opportunity. I always like, it's like if I buy someone a pair of shoes, that pair of shoes is there. You got to put it on, but the pair of shoes is for everyone if they receive it, right? So Christ has made himself available for all if they receive him. Amen? And so this was actually, we read it today, thousands of years later, 2,000 years later, say, wow, this is, okay, we read through it, but this is a pretty big deal. And if you read commentaries and theologians or whatever, they'll say this is a very pivotal chapter, which it is. So the church was being formed in the Acts, and this was kind of, I look at it as like a foundation of church and what the church is. An obvious direction I could go here would be missionary-wise, but we had a missionary last week. We have Phil in a few weeks. But I want to kind of go back to the heart, because I believe before the Lord can really sometimes do things, he first starts in the house that he's put you in, right? And judgment begins with the house of the Lord. And so, I have the church is being formed on this foundation. Let me read a couple of verses. You don't have to turn there with me. You can if you want. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I've spoken on this before. Jesus says, this is he's speaking to Peter. He says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church on the revelation of who Christ is. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Okay, let me just stop there. The gates of hell shall not go against it in the context of this is a church. So in the context of a gathering, where two or three are gathered in my name, threefold cord is not easily broken. There's unity and there's power in that. And Chris used this passage last week, and I was glad he did. It's the Great Commission. And it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And so our primary calling is this. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's to go out, to be the body of Christ, and to make disciples, right? Amen. It's the primary calling for any ministry. And you can shape it any way you want. We do it this way, we do it that way. Our focus is this, our focus is that. That's the primary basis for anything, okay? If we make disciples of all people. Let me say this, it's hard to make disciples of others if I'm not a disciple myself.
Amen.
All right? There's a passage the Lord brought to my attention. If you remember when Joanne was here a couple months ago, she used to say this to us in Bible school all the time, and she applied it in a little different way to us, but it's in Jeremiah 12:5, and it says, "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you have trusted they wearied you, then how will you do with the flooding of the Jordan?" Basically, if you cannot do the least of these, how can I entrust you with the greater thing? Okay? And so there's an element here I want to speak this morning about as the body of Christ and who we are. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So I believe the Lord's coming back, and he comes back for a mature bride, a mature people. In 1 Corinthians 13, one of the areas that speaks about maturity, it says, "When I was a child, I thought I was a child." Remember we spoke about that a few weeks ago? It's on the basis of love. So if I say mature, I have gray hair, I got a big house, I'm mature. Maturity is all about your ability to take responsibility, right? You can have a 25-year-old who's more mature than a 55-year-old based on your willingness to accept, just both in the natural responsibility and spiritually, you accept responsibility. I accept responsibility for my life, for who I am. I accept responsibility. If you have kids and you're immature, that can make you mature pretty fast because you have tremendous responsibility for that. But we have responsibility as a people of God corporately. Amen. And I'm going somewhere. I don't entirely know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. Remember when I spoke a few weeks ago and I mentioned I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias, you know, just a great apologist, Christian apologist, and there's a man who was with him, an Englishman, and someone asked him a question. He said, "If the Christian life is so joyous, if the Christian life is how, you know, life fulfillment in Christ, basically something, why are so many Christians so miserable?" And it's a stop. It's a check thing. Okay, how am I in my life? Am I finding my joy and my comfort in Him? Am I finding it in other things? Where am I getting my stability? And where's all this stuff coming from, right? So I get that from the Lord. I want to say this. The command that the Lord has for us says, "Go into all the earth, teach the things I've commanded you." What's the primary commandment? Actually, I've heard this preached before. I don't entirely know if it's true. I haven't studied enough. But if you look at the basic commands of Jesus, his one command that he had was love. Simple things, love. So there's a new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:34. And he says again, "A new command I give you. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen? So, in the church, when I am the body of Christ, sometimes in the body of Christ there can be Samaritans. Often we think of Samaritans as, you know, the guy at the bar who doesn't know the Lord. And amen, yes, that's true. He needs the Lord. But I want to focus this in here. Sometimes in a church, you know, even a smaller church like our size, we can see other people as Samaritans, right? Why? They're different from us. Different background. Let me just share this story up front. When I was in Bible school, probably the best thing about Bible school that I liked was that we all lived together. And it was the most diverse group of people I've ever been around in my entire life. When you get a whole group of people around you, and you're the body of Christ, and you're worshiping together, you're doing life together, it's inevitable you're going to find someone you don't really like, right? Or that rubs you the wrong way. They're wired differently from you. Different backgrounds, different things. And it's in those settings, it's easy to go out. I was with a guy one time, and I was trying to talk to him about something. He's like, man, I just love everybody, man. How do you go out doing this? Well, I just love. I just have love. There has to be an expression of that, right? What's the heart of church? I'm speaking of the family of God. You know, it speaks of God as Father. We address Him, our Father who's in heaven. It speaks of relationship, right? It's not just our God, it's our Father, because I'm His son, right? You're His daughter. There's a relational thing. There's brothers and their sisters, right? I think I was talking to you, Pete, and I've been somewhere on the old-timers, and I appreciate this. I wish we'd do it again. You know, it's Brother Pete, because you're my brother in the Lord. Sister Mary, because you're my Mary. You're my sister in the Lord. It's a family thing, right? And if you read in the Scriptures, Mediterranean, the way it was written, is greet each other with a holy kiss. And we don't do that in the Western. You don't do it today. But there's an element where there was an openness, and there was a love. There was a mutual exchanging of life that happened. And the body was strengthened, and it was knit together based on that. And I was thinking, there's just one guy, I was thinking about him yesterday, and kind of forgotten about him. And I wish I could go and have a do-over, because he and I, we weren't hostile to each other, but just very different, right? And sometimes it's easy to say, I love everyone, and then the Lord puts you in the house of God, and I say, you know, this guy is a Samaritan in my world. He's completely different from me. He wouldn't fit in where I'm from. I wouldn't fit in where he's from. Yet the Lord calls you together. There's a bonding there. Why is that? Because in the Spirit, we're brothers. We have the same Father through Jesus Christ, right? And so there's something that's there. I have a sister, one of my sisters. We very different. We don't see eye to eye all the time on everything. But I tell you what, if something happened right now, right in the middle of this, and she was out there, I would stop what I'm doing because she's my sister. Daggone it, she's my sister. I don't care if we haven't talked in or whatever our thing is. Why? Because there's a bond. Do you have that with the body of Christ? Locally, this body, right? I want to ask you that pointedly. Do we have that here? If my brother's in trouble right here, James, do I feel that too? Whether he's my best friend or not, whether we went out for coffee last week or not, there should be a bonding, something inside of there. At least know who he is, where he's at, where he's going. You got an accident one time, actually, I'd forgotten, and Ann was texting me. I was like messed up. I had to pray for James, you know. Is that going on inside? Do you have that with the family of God? It's an important question. The Lord wants that in His body. Amen? Okay? He's a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. There's another passage. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. I know where it is. I can't find it in my notes. Let me just turn there with you. I'll turn there. You can wait for me. Ephesians 4:16, I'm pretty certain. Yep. From whom the whole body, to sum up the body of Christ and the gifts, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Okay? Remember I spoke about the church. There's a universal church. There's also a local church. No one church, no one person is the full expression of Jesus. We have a part to play. Okay? The church downtown is not our competitor. They're our partners. Right? Because we have the same. We have maybe have different expressions, a different thing. It says, from the whole body, join and knit together by what every joint supplies. Not just one or two, by what every joint supplies, according to its effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How does the body grow? Spiritually, or any, or numerically, how are we going to do it? Which every joint supplies. Which every part does its share. Why? Because as a church, the church body as a whole is a family. So I'm family with Pastor Morton down the road and his church. But when God knits someone together and when he calls you to a local assembly, you're family, right? Amen. And sometimes to operate in love, and that it's easy to love someone when I don't have to be around them. I'm going back to that again. And I don't embrace stuff where I can love you and I see you every 2 or 3 months. There's something about rubbing something with someone I don't agree with where I have to love it, puts something within me. Let me read a passage to you, and I wouldn't mind you turning there with me. It's going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Have you ever been, and I've said this before, when I was in Bible school and that guy, he frustrated the dickens out of me, and I probably did to him too. But that can be a healthy thing, right? Iron sharpens iron. In verse 11 it says, O Corinthians, this is Paul pleading with them. He says, we've spoken openly with you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, you must also be open. Okay. Monday, I read this, and this is something that sparked within me, and I was like, this is what I have to share, and I put it in there with Acts, because I was going through the book of Acts. But Paul, there's a lot of issues there at the Corinthian church. They were having issues with him. If you read both the letters, first and his second one to them, it might have been 3 or more letters. But if you read through that, there's some issues. And he'd just been speaking about Christ as the reconciler who brings man to God. But they're closed off to Paul. And I want to relate it this way. Do you know that love is reciprocal, right? I can love James till I'm blue in the face. But there needs to be a love back, right? Amen. I'm not speaking about me personally, I'm speaking about all of us, okay? So there has to be something going on. Paul's creating here an atmosphere with this church. He's creating an environment of freedom and openness. Amen? Okay? One issue in church culture, not every church culture, I hate putting it on the things, but there's times sometimes where we feel like in church it's a controlled environment and I have to hide my mess because I can't let... I like picking on James. I can't let James know what I'm really going through. Because if he does, what's he going to think about me, right? So I come here, and I'm not saying, maybe you do this, maybe you don't. I'm just speaking from my heart. So he comes here, and I say, I'm going to raise my hand so he doesn't see anything wrong with me. Paul was seeking to create a different environment. He says, I'm being open with you. You be open to me. You remember when Jesus was training the apostles in John 13? And he went to wash their feet. And Peter's like, no, you're not going to do it. And it was so important to Jesus. Basically he said, if you don't let me do this, you have no part. Basically, I'm kicking you off the team if you do not allow me to wash your feet. What was Jesus demonstrating? Demonstrating a servant. And I've shared on this before. Context always helps. It's one thing for you to wash my feet after I've got shoes and socks on. It's still a nasty job. But in that time when I had sandals and I was walking on dirty roads with camel dung on the roads, it's a filthier job. It was a job for the lowest of the low person on the totem pole. And Jesus did it. And Peter was looking and saying, my idea of being in the kingdom of God is
that people serve us, we do this. And Jesus saying, no, if that's your idea of it, you're off the team, buddy. You can't do this. You have to get down and serve. What was Jesus doing, too? He was getting their mess off of them, right? Sometimes we have messes. Yes. Some church, I know the Church of God denomination, they're very big into foot washing. And I think that's a good biblical principle. It typifies something. But Jesus cleans our messes, right?
Yeah.
But he also says in Galatians, Paul writes, he says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in love, right? And James, confess your sins to one another. It doesn't mean I have to go to Father Brown to tell him my sins, but it does mean, hey, Kevin, man, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Man, I just need you to pray for me. I'm going through something, you know? Or I celebrate my successes. James, this great thing happened, man. Celebrate it with me, right? That happens in family, right? In the church. And I can come in here and I can say, you know, James, man, I got a mess on my feet, you know? You're following Jesus. You're a follower of Christ. Christ washed their feet when they're full of messes. And I've got a mess going on right now. I'm not going to try to hide it. I'm not going to act like everything's okay. I'm not going to come up here and lift my hands and say, Hallelujah, and push it. No. Brother, I need you to pray with me. I need to share this with you. I need some accountability. That's the body of Christ. That's family, right? That's hard to do if I don't have a relationship there, right? It doesn't have to be my best friend. It doesn't have to be my best buddy. I know who he is. I know where he's from. I know what he does. I know he's my brother. And in the spirit, Lord, I just ask for that here, Lord. In the spirit, there's a knitting together. Just like talks about in Ephesians. Every part does its share. I'm weak one day. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Man, I'm going. I messed up last week, man. I did something I can't believe I did. I've gone to the Lord. He's forgiven me, but you know, I just need some accountability. I need you to just, can you walk with me for a while through this so I can, you know, clean my feet, right? So I have clean feet. Amen? However, you're for the feet of those who preach good tidings. Amen? There's cleanliness to that, okay? You're getting some stuff I'm saying. So Paul's basically saying here, we've spoken openly to you. He shared his life with them. I've shared my life with you guys. He just went through all this stuff in Acts and 2 Corinthians 6. He says, we've spoken, our heart is wide open. We've spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. I've gone to everyone. I've spoken to all of you. I don't have James as my favorite and Anne as not. I've spoken to all of you, right? Amen. Sometimes there's people in the body, but I've spoken to all of you. There's an openness there, okay? And what he says, He says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Okay? He was being transparent, open, and vulnerable. I want you to get this from my heart as much as possible. If you struggle with that, Lord, help me with that, with the body of Christ. Some people really struggle being open and transparent. Brag on Brad, because in that meeting we had in July, a Saturday meeting with Joanne, the thing I loved about it, she was preaching. I hope you don't mind me doing this, but he was going through something right there, just started crying. We stopped what we were doing and just prayed for him right there on the spot. That was a transparency and openness that might have been hard, but hey, this is my family. There's a transparency. I don't have to mask and hide what I'm going through. I can release that to you, right? Pray for me. I'm in tears, right? I'm struggling. Pray for me. Be transparent. That's very, very hard for some folks to do. Open up your life to others. Amen? Invite someone out sometime. Open your life. Okay? He says, you're not restricted. Did you have something, Bob?
I did.
Go ahead, bro. That's fine.
Late
okay.
This morning while you started, and I didn't even know what you were going to say.
Yeah.
But he said that he wanted everybody to know that this was big. That was what he said to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and I thought he wanted me to, I didn't know what he wanted me to say or how I was going to say it, but
yeah.
That's what I got from God. God said that what you're going to say is big.
Yeah, I believe that. And I'm expressing it the best I can.
Because I do agree with what Chris said last week on the way home, what my brother said. Remember my brother, the word he gave last week? He said, there's enough, what's in this room right here is enough to transform this area. My brother doesn't do that kind of thing often. He really doesn't. That's positive, but there is things, and I speak by the Spirit of God, I know I'm right now, forgive me for how that sounds, that this, what I'm saying, is vital. It's important. It's a necessity. I should, speaking frankly, you don't have to be best friends with everyone here. You don't. But I should at least know your name. I should know something about you, where you live. I should have something where if there's a prayer thing, I can reach out. Can you pray for me? It doesn't have to be every single person. But that should be, that's a knitting and a shaping. I was a part of a church when I was growing up. We had that there. I used to love going. And I was there for everything, but Sunday mornings I loved because everyone was there. And I didn't realize at the time, but I said, you know, I used to look forward to going basically to see my extended family. That's the way it dawned on me this week as I was meditating on this, because I loved the people. They were my family. Cameron, what did you do this week? How's your work going, man? Awesome. That's excellent. And you can encourage and you can build up and you can lift up, right? It's an important thing. Paul was saying, I want a transparent, open, honest dialogue with you guys. This isn't like me. This is what Paul was saying. This should be to every one of us in here. You're restricted by yourselves, not me. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world, especially if you're someone who's been hurt, especially in a church setting, if you've been hurt in a church setting, it can be really hard to open up to other people, right? I know people who are not pastors, who've been hurt by pastors, and it lets bitterness. Remember Hebrews talks about not letting any root of bitterness get in there, because it can defile many. At the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you let that thing get in you, it's toxic. But I also know, even I have a friend of mine who's an acquaintance of mine who's a pastor, and he said, you know, I'm just burned by the church. He says, I don't want to do it anymore, right? There should be openness and allowing to say, you know what? We're hurt, we're this, but we're still family. Amen? That takes an openness. You open up your life to other people. You open up who you are to other people. And you say, hey, this is me. And you know what? I'm not the best in the world at either. I'm doing the best I can. I'm getting better. My wife is better than I am in some areas. But I want to be an open book. And you be an open book, because we're family. And as that happens, and as the Lord knits that together, that's how things take off. That's how the Samaritans out there hear the gospel in a lot of respects, because they see unit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
One thing that's always bothered me the most, I think along the family lines of church, is when people up and disappear.
Yeah.
And you don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's because I'm hesitant to form relationships then, because people could just up and disappear.
Yeah.
And you don't know why. I've always... No matter why somebody has to leave the church, to see them there one Sunday and to never see them again, I've always had a real problem.
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, even if no matter what the circumstances are, I've always felt that there should be a goodbye.
I agree. That's a tough thing. And that's... Paul was speaking in the context of the cross, basically. And some of the reconciliation help in verse 19 of the previous chapter, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And if you look at Christ... Someone who gave himself. Now, if he's our example and he's our pattern, if I'm to be like him, and if you look at it, he did it, and you look at all the hurt, all the people who've rejected him as well, that's a hard thing. And I was in a church, and I remember when I was growing up, and I think you had a similar thing, Kevin, where folks would just up and leave in the season, and it was tough, man. I remember that. It's,
it's a tough thing, and that hurts. But that's part of opening yourself up as hard as it is.
I was thinking, you know, when there. Jesus left, he said goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's true. Let me share a few more things. And I was listening, and John 13:35, it says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I was listening to a guy, I don't know if anyone's familiar with a guy named Jack Taylor. He's an 86-year-old pastor down in Florida, and he's a spiritual father to a lot of international ministries. Some of them you would know if I named them. And he was preaching at this, it was recently, he was preaching at a local church, and I know the church, I was listening to it. And he was, this wasn't his whole message, but it was part of it, and it stuck with me. He said, "I was talking to the Lord." He said, "I'm 86 years old. Been in ministry for over 50 years, written several books, ministered all over the world." And he says, he's a Florida, he's a southern guy, he's kind of funny to listen to. And he said, "You know, I was there," and I said, "Lord, if I have to be honest with you, the way I've loved you all these years, I might would give myself a B+. and he challenged the church. He said, "I would ask you, based on basically his basically an elder in the body of Christ, been around for quite a while." He said, "I would challenge you to say yours is better than that." And he said something, you know, that wasn't amazingly profound, yet it stuck with me. And he had the church do this. And he said, I went out and had a conversation with the Lord one day. And he's a storyteller, so it was fun to listen to him. I'm not going to try to mimic that because I would butcher it. But he basically had the Lord would speak to him and say, what's the passage? We love him because he first loved us, right? So, if I'm not capable of love without him loving, what makes you think I can just manufacture it on my own, right? He said, so the greatest love is that I receive love from him. It comes from heaven into me, and then it in turn goes out through me to others. And he said, I just encourage you, and I did this. I've done it in my life. I didn't know what I was doing. And I encourage you all to do it. He said, I would just take times, he said, repeatedly, I had to make it a priority, to say, today, Lord, I just received your love. I just received your, does he love you? Yeah, so if he does, I've done it sometime. I've even had certain moments sometimes where I've been in just a whirlwind. I need to do that. And sometimes I struggle and sometimes I get this legalistic thing where I do things to please the Lord. And one time I was on that vein of thought, and the Lord just stopped me and said, I just want you to lay down and just let me. And I just almost felt guilty about it. The Lord's still doing the work in me. And I let him love on me. You know what happens? And I was thinking about this with a guy in my Bible school. Because actually, I'll tell you this. It was last night I was meditating on this. And as I actually did that with the Lord, and he started speaking to me about this guy. He gave me fresh perspective in his eyes. And, you know, I might not have been the best friends in the world with that guy, but I would have come at it from a heart of understanding. If I can't stand James and we're in the same house together in the body of Christ, and he bothers me, he rubs me the wrong way, this is going on, Lord, let me receive your love, because the only love I can give him has to come from you. It can't come from me. Lord, I receive your love. Has this ever happened to you? It does to me. I receive your love, Lord, and he gives you a perspective on someone you didn't have. And so in turn of being sharp with him, there becomes grace. And the Lord says, this is how I see James. You know why James is doing this to me, right? This is why he's doing it. He's your brother. Pray for him. Love him. We did this. I was talking to you recently about this, Mary, Sermon on the Mount. Bless, love, pray for, right? How do you love? Bless them, encourage them. Amen. I encourage you. Receive. When you go home today, when you go home tonight before you go to bed, say, Lord, I just received your love. I received your love. Help me to love. I love this passage. By this, they will all know that you are my disciples. Why? If you have love for one another. Amen.
I just want to say, when I worked at EB, there was a guy there I didn't like. And he didn't like me, so it was mutual. But I started praying for him.
Yeah.
And I started loving the guy. It just, is like a natural, somehow when you pray for somebody,
yes,
something happens inside you and you start to love them.
Yes.
You still don't like me, but I love you.
It can be hard if you have that, to have that initial push, I don't want to pray for this guy. It does work, though. It honestly does. It's a scriptural principle. It really does. Receive the love, whether I feel it or not, and I can see with the Lord's eyes, do I minister at His love or not. Let me end with something. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. There's a hymn that's that, Pete. I don't know if you know it. I love it. So when Philip preached, they heard and they also saw. You know, people can look in, especially today, we're just talking about praying for our country. I'm a young guy, I'm in my 30s, but I feel like an old guy because I can look back when I was in high school and say, man, our country wasn't nearly this toxic when I was in high school. It wasn't. I don't remember this at all. So part of our witness, part of our example, part of our influence in the community, yes, it's preaching the Word of God. Yes, it's laying hands on the sick and seeing their cover. But it's also, I'm very different from James. We have nothing in common. Might not like each other, but we're brothers. What is that? Why do you guys, what is different about you? Why is that? Because there's something, we have the same Father. And there's a connection. I'm not driven by ideology or, hey, I'm driven by a love that can't come from me. It has to come from Him, right? That has to be part of a local church expression in any community. Amen?
Amen.
So, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, this is a good, I'm not going to go into this as much as I want. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to start at 23, actually. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I have a friend back home, acquaintance, who really embraces churchless Christianity. And I don't think it's biblical at all. And like I said, it's easy for me to say, I love everyone, I'm doing this, and I can worship God under a tree. Yes, you can. But I think the Lord's taken us from a me mentality to a we mentality. Remember I spoke in Isaiah in the Old Covenant, how beautiful are the feet of Him. And then we get to Romans, it's how beautiful are the feet of them, right? Because it's a corporate expression. And you can have, there's been a lot of teaching in the body of Christ over the last 20 years on destiny. But I don't think my personal destiny can go as far as my corporate destiny can. Right? And I actually think that's the case for all of us in here. It's why I have a sense of ownership, because you know what? My personal destiny can be through the roof, but if the Lord has called me to a certain body for a certain period of time, whether it's a year, 5 years, or whether it's 40 years, however that is, at the end of the day, whether I like it or not, part of my destiny is tied up with the family and the company that I'm with. Amen?
Amen.
There has to be understanding of that. In our society, we're very individualistic. I can do this without this person, without this, without this. Oh, that's my natural wiring. Maybe it's my age. I don't know. But we need the body of Christ, right? And it has to have that. But one thing he says in here, why is that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So I'm going to brag on Brad one more time because it's just the best example I could think of. We were in prayer about 3 weeks ago. And I actually came in pretty heavy, actually. I was really dealing. I didn't tell anybody because, there again, I'm the pastor. I'm not supposed to have that going on, right?
That's right.
And I was really... and that was... I was heavy, man. I really was. And about 20 minutes into it, I don't even know if it was prayer. I don't know what it was, but he just started saying, man, I'm just full. And he started saying, man, I go to the prisons. Kevin's awesome. Bill is awesome. Jim and Sharon are awesome. So whoever else would say, they're awesome. You're awesome. This place is awesome. I drive 40 minutes every day to come here. This place is awesome. And what did it do? it just lifted me up through the roof. And I went to him and I said, man, you changed all that. It's just shifted. Honestly, the rest of the week, it was a strength in me for the rest of the week. What happened? Not forsaking the assembly. He's my brother, right? He's my brother. The Lord put something on his heart. There's an encouragement. What does it say to do? Exhorting one another. I was exhorted. I needed that. I could have prayed at home. I could have done that. I enjoyed praying by myself. I could have been in deep prayer at home, but I would have missed something. Because my brother over there, even though I didn't tell him, had something from the Lord that just picked me up. Made a difference for the rest of my week.
Oh, amen.
It did.
That whole church. That whole church was philosophy.
Yeah. It is. It is. Did you have something, brothers?
Well, that night I was at home and I was just, making dinner and everything, and my wife came home and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I gotta go to church. I gotta go to prayer tonight. She said, why? I don't know, man, but I feel great. And I just gotta go to prayer. The words.
Yeah.
I didn't plan it, but it was a feeling inside when I was first. I was like,
I needed it. I needed it. And so I'm ending with this. Every one of us, because we're called to go and make disciples, right? Part of the Great Commission. So if I'm a disciple maker, and all of us are, it means that every single one of us, every single believer in the body of Christ, has a pastoral grace on their life. Every one of us. I'm going to repeat the story Chris told last week. He shared that with me. I said, man, you have to share that with the church about the guy at his work. He said, I was struggling. He said, I really needed a mentor. I just got born again. I was, like a fireball. And he said, a guy came up to him at work, started pouring into him. He went to church with the guy the next day, and everyone's like, oh, you got you a new one there. And what the guy would do, for those of you who weren't here, the guy who worked with Chris, and he said, the Lord would just take him from job to job. He said, I don't know why. I would go to this job and find someone the Lord called me to disciple. And then that would be done. The Lord would say, now take the job over there. Take a job. He'd find someone. What was he doing? This guy wasn't a pulpit minister, but there was a pastoral grace on his life. He was a disciple maker. Everywhere he went, and Chris was saying, basically, I'm going out to Zambia, funding churches and getting land, because some guy at work said, you know what? I'm called to disciple you. God's put in my heart to disciple you. All of us, he says, to encourage one another. How about to put courage in one another? And so when I come to church, I'm here to meet the Lord because God is here. And I do believe the Lord wants to pour out even more, but I think he's shifting some things. Like I said, the wineskin, and part of what I'm saying this morning, I believe it from my heart of hearts before he can do more. And I believe the Lord has a cry out, I want you to do this. Encourage one another. Put courage in them. When I see them, I don't have to go to church to be ministered to. You know what? I can go there because I've got something for James today. You know? Whether you get up here or not, I can be down in the snack area. And I start speaking, pouring into someone's life. Maybe the Lord's put someone on your heart. One thing I appreciate with the ladies, what they're doing when they come to our home. If you don't go to the ladies' meetings, I encourage you to do it if you're a lady. Is they have partners and buddies, and they say basically, your job until we meet again, connect throughout the week, pray for each other. How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? And what does that do? It knits people in a way that they weren't knit together before. Right? Aaron and Liz. Liz is working today. Aaron's down there working. Hardly knew each other. They came together. So they start at the ladies thing. We're going to purposely come together. You know what? There's something going on in their lives that's very similar. And so what do? Start pouring into each other. They start praying for each other. Start ministering. Why? Because they're sisters in Christ and they're called to be knit to the body. And as they're both doing that, they're being strengthened. Why? Because I need you. You need me. And yet there's a pastoral grace on your life as a missionary. Maybe there's this, we're going to hear more about outward missions again in a few weeks with Phil. We heard it last week. But sometimes a mission field is in your own church. Okay? If you can't do the least of these, how can you do the rest? Can be hard for you. But find someone. You don't have to do it today. Pray for someone. Lord, help me to be transparent with my brothers and sisters. If I come in here and I have mess on my feet, I don't have to hide and run away. That's not my culture. I can say, you know what, I can come in and, you know what, I've gone to the Lord, I've repented, but man, I still need you to pray for me. I need you to come alongside of me. If I've isolated myself, if I've forsaken the assembling with my family, and I don't have any of that, you know what? The Lord is good and faithful, but He's designed us, for whatever reason, to need each other. And there's a grace on His life for me. There's one on me for Him. So you look for, when you're in a family, if you have siblings and they get married, and there's an in-law that comes in, a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, you don't just say, oh, you make me feel welcome. You know what? I had him. I said, you know what? Welcome to the family. I went on my way to say, welcome to the family. What can get to know them. I take the initiative myself, right? Because they're marrying into my family. I'll take the initiative to open myself up to them. Amen? And I think we would be good if we apply this to our hearts and our lives. What Bob said before, thank you, because I felt it last night. I had to get my wife to pray for me. I was praying over this. And I left stuff out. I may not even articulate the best way possible. But I knew it was the Lord. And I appreciate the double witness from that. If you don't even know everybody's name here, and I understand we have people who, like Sandra, the Burmans, they live in Massachusetts half the time. So they're in Massachusetts now. They'll be here next week. Christina's in Massachusetts for the whole summer. I get that. And Pawcatuck's a small community. People live in different areas. I get all that. But if there's someone here, I just challenge you, if you don't even know their name, go up to them and introduce yourself. I'm Clay. How are you? You don't have to be their friend. Where do you work? How can I pray for you at your job? What's going on in your family situation? Okay, I'll be praying for you. And then you start the thing Jim was talking about. You start to pray for someone. And the Lord would knit your heart in such a way I come back and I want to say, you know what? How's it going this week? Is there progress? Is this? Okay, we're praying for you. We're doing this because I need that. Amen? Amen? See, anyone else sent me? I appreciate the feedback while I'm preaching. Anyone else have anything before we close?
Yeah. I was asking God to give me something. So all, you know, week I was getting nothing. I'm like, what? Nothing. I figured, you know, I'd be in tune. I'd get it sooner. But instead, like, get it at the last second. That's why I said, should I tell him? If I tell him now, I might make him nervous.
Yeah, just to encourage you, I know the Lord is here. Literally everyone I bring in, honestly and truly, I'm telling you, it's an encouragement and a testament to you guys. When Joanne was here that Saturday, she came home and was like, man, we were just a small group then. But she said, they were so easy to preach to. So open, you know. And they loved it, man. They absolutely want to come back. And people come and they want to come back. There's such a presence and a spirit here. And I do agree with what everyone said and what some of you said. I think the Lord wants to pour out and I don't even know what all that looks like. I don't think I'm supposed to right now. But I know that He wants to. And He's forming a foundation that's good, that's healthy and solid. And part of it is important. There's a knitting together in a family. And you know what? If you actually have that knitting together as a family, it becomes harder to do what Kevin did and just say, forget everyone. Because there's something that's knit together and that's there. Amen. It doesn't always happen. But usually it does. It's just kind of because there's a knitting and a joining together. And I believe that's a central piece to what the Lord wants to do. And sometimes He does things... In a place, I was reading about a church, and they prayed and they labored. So the Lord prepared them 7 years for a move of God that really transformed a huge area. And so what the Lord does in 7 years, He would put things in place, and sometimes we get impatient. He would put things in place, do this here, do this there, work this here, work this there. And so when He did what He wanted to do, there's structure. There's the wineskin to hold it. be able to release it. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this this church family, Lord. You are our Father. Lord, we're your children. I'm your son. You have daughters in here. We're brothers. We're sisters. I thank you through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, we're all your children. And only through the blood of Jesus are we your children. But because of that, we're your children. Lord, I just ask. And I echo what Bob said. I echo what you put in my heart. What everyone said. Lord, that supernaturally, Lord, as you instructed Paul to send to the Ephesians, Lord, Lord, that you would knit us in the Spirit, Lord, in a way that's undeniable. Lord, whatever our differences may be, whatever our backgrounds may be, whatever our unique personalities, Lord, our quirks and our hang-ups may be, Lord, knit us together in the Spirit with something that's unbroken, Lord, that has to come from you. Lord, we do as a church family, Lord. Lord, we just receive your love that you have for us corporately. Lord, as individual, but also corporately, Lord. We just, Lord, I know you look down, Lord, and you love this church, Lord. You love every time we meet, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Tuesday night, whether it's for a men's meeting, Lord, or ladies, whatever we do, however we're here, Lord, when Kevin's here worshiping at night with a couple other guys, Lord, you're pleased and your pleasure is here, Lord. You love this people, Lord. You love the hearts that we have. Lord, you love the way, I love the way you finesse together. So, Lord, we just as a church family, Lord, as a body, Lord, we just receive your love. And if we don't have that, we have nothing to give. So, Lord, just knit us together in the Spirit in a way that we haven't seen before. Lord, in the weeks, Lord, and in the months, Lord, to come, Lord, I just feel like that's just a prophesy and speak it over the house, Lord, and the weeks and the months to come, Lord. You knit us together, you knit this church together, Lord, in such a way that we haven't seen, Lord, in many years, God. Lord, that you knit us together in a way that's undeniable, Father. Lord, that there's a closeness, Lord, there's a unity, Lord, there's a kinship and a bonding, Lord, that was birthed by your Spirit, Lord. We're not afraid to bring our messes in. We're not afraid to open ourselves up. But we know, Lord, that you're here. And you heal us, Lord. You touch us. And you restore us, God. And you have your family here to lift us, to encourage us as well. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We bless you. We honor you for what you're doing. Lord, we speak blessings to all of them as they take Labor Day off tomorrow, I hope. And we love you. We honor you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.